Blog Talk Radio.
Sports fans, thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Neek and Rude Pro Football Talk Show. And I know a lot of you football fans are sitting here saying, well, no football news today. Nobody's talking about football. Everybody's talking about the NBA free agency show. But that's a damn lie, because if you are listening to the Neek and Rude show, we're talking football. We're here every Sunday night. Actually, we're going to have a little time change coming up, I think next week, Rude, something like that, whatever. I am your host, Neek, my main man, Rudy Rude, in the studio with me. What's going on, man?
Hey, you know, same thing, different day. But, you know, we're always going to bring you that good football knowledge to your head. What's happened last season. Today, we're going to be keeping that series going, talking about the NFC North and, you know, kind of what teams did last year, where they finished off as far as their records and everything, you know, kind of some of the statistics from last year. And then also going into next year, you know, what players were acquired via free agency, via the draft, in order for the team to improve, what team, you know, what players might not be coming back to the team. So, you know, we'll let you know all that from the NFC North today. And, you know, like Chris Berman said, the NFC North division.
Yep, NFC North division. So we know that this is actually, might as well say, July 1st, even though it's June 30th, finishing up June, the month of June. But it's July. We know the beginning part of July is boring, pretty much. A lot of sports writers are on vacation, coaches on vacation, just enjoying that good quality time with the family, but not Neek and Rude. We're giving you every week football knowledge, everything we do. This is what we love to do. That's why we're here. We don't take time off, because we love bringing you that good, true football sports talk, and you're getting the best from the fans for the fans. You know, that's what we do. So anyway, not too much news going on this past week.
You were telling me about something that went on yesterday. So, you know, it's Sunday, the 30th of June.
Yes, I'm glad you were listening.
Yeah, I'm glad I know the date. And yesterday on June 29th, you were telling me about the, what was that, about the 40s?
The 40 yards of gold. It's actually an event that was put on by Chad Johnson.
I thought you were talking about like a 40, like Colt 45.
Nah, man. Come on, Rue. We know you love to drink, man. Not Colt 45, man. This is not 1995, man. This is not that year.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, so yesterday there was a 16-man bracket challenge for the 40-yard dash to figure out who's the fastest man in the NFL. Actually, it was a good turnout, man. Actually, it was a pretty cool event. Marquise Goodwin, the Olympic sprinter for the 49ers, who's all about speed. And if Al Davis was alive, he would have probably signed him to a mega deal, because he has speed.
Yeah, you got to add that speed, you know. And, Neek, I actually did know about this 40 competition after, you know, you explained it to me at the last second. But I think leagues need more of this. So whether it be, like I told you, in the NBA, I think they should have like a 3-on-3 tournament or an all-star break, stuff like that. Bringing more like the pro star stuff for the NFL, and having like passing competition. They have a nice competition now where they have the dodgeball. I don't really see what that has to do with football as much. They might play some, like a 7-on-7 like type of thing during All-Star, intervene. So, I mean, yeah, something like that, I mean, I think would be cool. So, you know, leagues got to get creative with that kind of thing. I like that kind of stuff, though.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, actually, I think this was the first time this event is taking place, so the premiere of the event. So, actually, seemed like it was a success. A lot of people on Twitter, social media, different channels of social media watched it, but it was actually a pay-per-view event. Actually, I thought it was ESPN event, but no, it was pay-per-view, because we already know Chad Johnson's all about trying to make that money. But big up to Chad
Johnson.
Gotta get
that money, man.
But anyway, like we said before the show started, this is the NFC North division. Every week we just recapping last year, East division, what the teams did well, when we write for these teams in each of these divisions.
Nick gonna break down what they did last year, and I'm gonna tell you what they did in the offseason to acquire talent to improve for next season. Yep, there it is. All right, so let's start with the Chicago Bears. And the crazy thing is, before the season started, I just will never forget, it was just like D-Day for me as a Raiders fan. I woke up in the morning, and my phone was just blowing up off the hook, man. I mean, I had so many calls from, this is when I was living in L.A., so many calls from people in Ohio, because we reside in Ohio right now, people back in Texas, just everywhere calling me like, Neek, man, what the hell is wrong with your Raiders, man? I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, so I look at the phone, and next thing you know, I see we traded Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears. And I'm sitting here like, I don't usually buy NFL jerseys, but because Khalil Mack, I'm a huge fan of this guy's game, probably to me the best pure pass rusher in the league. I never see nobody can just toss two double teams to the side like it ain't nothing. I mean, this dude is just so damn strong at the point of attack, forced fumbles, six forced fumbles last year. I mean, the dude is a beast, man. Averaging,
he's a block obliterator.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't block him. I mean, you just got to have double or triple team him, man. For this Bears team, with the addition of Khalil Mack, this team defense was first-ranked defense. This team went 12-4. I mean, we know Khalil Mack, you know, he's not one guy.
Khalil Mack is a block obliterator.
Yeah, we know that one guy doesn't, you know, pretty much carry the team, but.
But he is a block obliterator.
But Khalil Mack did his thing. I mean, like I said, 12.5 sacks, six forced fumbles. Six forced fumbles.
Block obliterator.
I mean, this dude, I just never heard of six forced fumbles. But anyway, let's talk about
block obliterator.
Rude. All right, man. No, man, calm down, man. I got to call security on you here in a second. But anyway, all right. Quarterback position, Trubisky was solid. Over 3,223 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, 12 picks. Jordan Howard almost had 1,000 rushing yards on the season, but he actually left this past season as a free agent. Tariq Cohen, actually 444 yards, 71 catches out the backfield. This kid is electric with the ball in his hands at the wide receiver skill position. I mean, you just look at the numbers. Really, nobody had 1,000 yards that came close. Taylor Gabriel, 67 catches, 688 yards. Trey Burton, the tight end, 54 catches, 569 yards. Allen Robinson, 55 catches. Anthony Miller, rookie, 33 catches. But the offensive line was solid. I mean, Charles Leno, James Daniels, Cody Whitehair, who I love, who I wish the Raiders would got a few years ago, Kyle Long, Bobby Massey. This is where the Bears have talent. They were able to protect Mitch Trubisky.
Well, let me address the running back position and go ahead and tell them what happened without telling them what happened.
No, I just talked about it, man. What are you talking about? Jordan Howard's gone. He was almost at 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah, that was the main thing I was talking about. Jordan Howard's gone.
Yeah, all right, man. You're going to talk about it in a minute. All right. And then on the defensive side of the ball, we were touched on the defensive line a little bit with Khalil Mack. Even though he plays linebacker position, Akeem Hicks was solid, 7.5 sacks. Eddie Goldman, 3 sacks. The linebacker position, one of the best linebacker groups in the league. Roquan Smith, the rookie, had 121 tackles, 5 sacks. Danny Trevathan, over 102 tackles. I already touched on Khalil Mack. Leonard Floyd, 4 sacks. Leonard Floyd needs to step it up this year in 2019. That's what I'm going to say about this upcoming season. Prince Amakamore. Yeah, Prince Amakamore had 3 picks. And then my boy Kyle Fuller, man, like an all-pro gear with 7 picks. And then my boy Eddie Jackson, man.
He's a beast.
Yeah, just sound like he's a member of the Temptation. Eddie Jackson coming to the microphone, y'all. Eddie Jackson, ladies, sexual chocolate.
He's the Temptation that got the drug problem.
Ah, come on,
but
man.
Get the picks, though.
Yeah, he got a pick. Well, he had 6 picks, so
he
knows how to. Yeah. The drug.
Hey,
let me tell you like this. The drugs don't affect his hands and his awareness because he know how to get the ball 6 picks, man. So for the season, tremendous success for the Bears, 12-4. We'll see how they do in 2019. What you got for them, Root?
So, you know, as far as the draft, the Bears, you know, like Nick said, they went 12-4 last year, so they're drafting, you know, a little later, but, you know, they really sacrificed some of their draft picks and acquiring some talent that Nick mentioned, like Khalil Mack.
Who is a what, Nick?
What is he?
A block obliterator!
So they got David Montgomery in the 3rd round of the draft, you know, running back out of Iowa State, who was thought to top 5, but definitely top 3 running backs in this draft. Riley Ridley was somebody that, you know, the Bears drafted out of Georgia in the 4th round. Interestingly enough, he is Calvin Ridley's brother, the receiver for the Atlanta Falcons.
And he went to Georgia, so that's kind of like 6 degrees of separation there. But wide receiver Cordarrelle Patterson will be joining the team in the Chicago Bears. We both agree they need some help at the wide receiver spot. So Cordarrelle Patterson, he's a guy that can give you some help in the return game, special teams as well. Buster Screen, Old Brown, and New York Jet signing with the Bears. Safety, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Also, QB, Tyler Bray. Nick, I know you probably going to say something about that Tyler Bray, but the Bears did lose Zach Miller, linebacker. Zach Miller actually retired, tight end Zach Miller, linebacker Sam Acho, and then also Cody Parkey and Chris Blewett are two of it's two of the kickers that the Bears have cut. And they got kicked off because they weren't good kickers.
Oh, man. Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. Ah, funny. Funny as always. Great character. Anyway, all right.
Kicks.
All right, man. Enough. All right. Detroit Lions, 6-10, averaged 20 points per game last season. It's just funny, man. Every time I think about the Lions, there's nothing that impresses you about this team. You just think Detroit Lions, man, this average team. I mean, Matthew Stafford, just average quarterback. I mean, the kid has a lot of talent. But it's just every year I'm looking at his stats, 21 touchdowns last year, 11 interceptions, and I'm just like, really? And offensive line, I know they worked very hard to develop this offensive line, which is actually on paper not so bad, you know, because they added Ricky Wagner last season, and they drafted Taylor Decker, and then at the left guard position, Frank Ragnew, and then they got Glasgow at the center position. So the offensive line is not bad. It's just at the receiver position, I mean, Kenny Galladay, he stepped up, did his thing, 70 catches, over 1,000 yards. Actually had, let's see, was that 15 touchdowns? Yeah, he actually balled out last season. Theo Reddick, I mean, he was the running back, but he actually chipped in with 61 catches. Marvin Jones, who was one of their big free agent acquisition about 3 or 4 years ago, he's got to stay healthy. 35 catches, 508 yards, and the Golden Tate, who they lost in free agency, actually they cut during, I think it was about during the trade deadline or whatever. He had 44 catches. So this receiver core is not that great. I mean, there's talent there, but these guys just need to step up and stay healthy. And like I said, Rudy's going to touch on the tight end position because I love that first round draft pick of the tight end they got. I know I'm going to be quiet on that. But the running back position, Kerryon Johnson out of Auburn, 641 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's probably going to be the featured back for this team on the defensive side of the ball. My ex-New York Giant player, Romeo Okwara, I love this kid right here, has 7.5 sacks. Deshaun Hand, 3 sacks. Ezekiel Ansah, 4 sacks. You know, he's actually left in free agency. And Harrison Snacks chipped in with 3.5 sacks, which is pretty much the best run stuffer in the NFL. And then the linebacker position, they actually have some talent here. I mean, Jared Davis isn't bad. Young kid that he drafted out of Florida a couple years ago, had 100 tackles, 6 sacks. Christian Jones, 69 tackles. Devin Kennard chipped in with 7 sacks. So linebacker position isn't bad, but it's always about the secondary with this team. I mean, I know they drafted Tez Tabor a couple years ago. He needs to step it up. 0 picks, only 28 tackles on the year, but I love Diggs. 78 tackles last year, 3 interceptions. Nevin Lawson, they lost in free agency this offseason, had 53 tackles. Darius Slay, 3 interceptions. The main issue with this secondary, they got to create some turnovers. That's the issue with this group. Not enough turnovers being created with this secondary. So heading into 2019, I'm not going to give my early prediction of this team. They upgraded. Rudy's going to talk about that. But the Lions, man, they're still just going to be the bottom dwellers in this division.
We talked about that, you know, off air and before the show, you know, if the Lions had made any progress. And me and you both seem like we have the same opinion after you just saying that. But the Lions went to 10 last year, so they did have a high first-round draft pick. 8th overall, they drafted T.J. Hockenson, the tight end out of Iowa, one of 2 tight ends drafted by Iowa in the first round of this year NFL draft. And Hockenson is an all-around tight end, and he's not even that guy who's really like a receiving tight end. He's just real solid. So, you know, Kyle Rudolph is the guy in Minnesota. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, but he's a guy that kind of reminds me of that. He's that Midwest tight end. Yeah, put that on a T-shirt. All right, 3rd round for Detroit Lions in the draft, they selected a safety, Will Harris, out of Boston College. This could be a guy that could start from day one, period. He was projected to be a second, you know, possibly a first-round draft pick in the draft. So they got good value in that pick. Danny Amendola was the guy that the Lions got in free agency. Tight end Jesse James from the Steelers. Defensive end Trey Flowers from the Patriots. You know, you, with the coach that you have there for, you know, the Lions, you know, it's obvious that you want to get players that used to play for the Patriots. So that's what happened in acquiring defensive end Trey Flowers, who's one of the more highly sought after free agents, you know, or guys that could be acquired in this free agency period. And the Lions definitely got one for their coach here, tight end Logan Thomas. Here's Nick, one I wanted to correct you on. I think running back C.J. Anderson is actually going to probably get the bulk of the carries over Kerryon Johnson for the Lions, because C.J. Anderson had actually efficient last year playing for the Rams in their playoff run when he had to take over for Gurley.
Nip. You know why? Because he was a playoff wonder. He did his thing in the playoffs for a full season. Come on, man. That's why he got dropped off by a couple teams. Therefore, you saw what happened with the young kid, Kerryon Johnson. If he would have had a little more carries, he probably would have had 1,000 yards.
Oh, and done, Nick. I just wanted to say that the Lions also cut T.J. Lang.
All right, man. All right, moving on to the Green Bay Packers. Pretty much the most disappointing team in this division. I mean, that's up for debate. I mean, Minnesota Vikings also had a disappointing season as well. Packers went 6-9-1, averaged 23 points a game. Aaron Rodgers, every season, always efficient as always, over 4,400 passing yards, 25 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. That's a stat that just shocks me. Every time we talk about Aaron Rodgers, you look at that number of interceptions.
I mean, other than Tom Brady, man, like, he's the GOAT. Like, as far as stats, like, he's like, you know how LeBron be stuffing stats, man? LeBron be having, like, 27-8-8. Like, bruh, if I ever got 8 assists in a game, I'll be geeked. You know what I'm saying? To get 27 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. Like, I'd have to play for, like, 7 hours to get that.
All right, man. All
right. So I'm just saying, to just be a stat monster like that, that's the type of thing that A-Ron is doing right now.
Well, I mean, he's the perfect example of a franchise QB that plays efficient football at the highest level. I mean, think about it. A lot of quarterbacks in the NFL right now need to watch Aaron Rodgers. I mean, not Tom Brady, Drew Brees, you know, but
that's a lot of it. Everybody else does.
Well, yeah, everybody else. I'm talking about
everybody else. So you're calling out like Cam Newton, Joe Flacco, Matt Rodgers, just guys like that.
Yeah, and Joe Flacco, Captain Checkdown. Why do you think I call you Captain Checkdown? Because you're afraid to throw the ball down the field. Aaron Rodgers is not afraid to throw the ball down the field.
Or out of bounds. That's why he has this little interception.
Yeah, well, I mean, he trusts his arm, and he's just smart with the football in his hand. He knows how to extend the play. We know about his escaping mobility. We understand that. But he knows how to read defenses.
Isn't he really the perfect QB, though? You know what I always was, like, fascinated by was the back shoulder throw that, like, announcers would point out with Aaron Rodgers in particular. And it's not like he's the only quarterback that does it. But his timing with receivers like Jordy Nelson and stuff like that, it was amazing, man. So much that, like, it was indefensible when they would throw the back shoulder throws and the receiver just, like, fall down right like 10 yards away from the line of scrimmage, right by the out of bounds line, and the ball would be just like right on their shoulder, like ooh, they just catch it right on the shoulder, like eh.
Yeah, I mean his back shoulder throw is pretty much the best in the game. But last season, like I said, it's not a knock on Aaron Rodgers. It's pretty much, you know, I'm about to run through the rest of this roster, but it's more of everybody else. I mean, this Packer team last year really underachieved. The running back position, Aaron Jones was a nice bright spot. Actually, he had 728 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns. Jamal Williams contributed with 464 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, the question is, you have to ask this Packers coaching staff is, I know Mike McCarthy's not there no more, but, man, when was the last time the Packers had a 1,000-yard running back? And we kind of got to go back to the days of Mon Green. Seriously.
What was the other guy I'm thinking of? Dorian Dorsey?
Yeah, I know you're talking about. But, nah, you got to go back to the days
of
Mon Green.
That's
the 90s. But what I'm saying is, for this offense to be really efficient, They need to run the ball more. Don't put it all on Aaron Rodgers. We know he's Superman, but the thing of it is he's getting older in his career. You want to keep him healthy for not only the full season, but for the playoff run, potentially a Super Bowl run. All right, wide receiver position, Davante Adams. This kid gets better every year. 111 catches on the year, over 1,300 receiving yards, 13 touchdowns. Randall Cobb contributed with 38 catches on the year, but he's not there no more. And then a newbie to the group. I mean, when you think about the Packers receiving corps, really just Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson. We know he's not there no more. And Randall Cobb, but they got a new one to the group. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I mean, like, whoa, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. That's an interesting name. Yeah,
I knew I expected him to make the team.
Yeah, I mean, he had 38 catches, 581 yards. But one of the keys one of the key players to this receiving group actually only played in four games last season. That was Geronimo Allison. He was, you know, actually the year before actually was solid. Another one of Aaron Rodgers' weapons. Jimmy Graham at the tight end position contributed with 55 catches, 636 yards. Packers offensive line, one of the best in the game. Defensive line. This is where this team just, they can't stay healthy and they don't get enough production from this group. I mean, Mike Daniels, Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, they just need to get more production from this group. And linebacker position, I love Blake Martinez, 144 tackles on the year, 5 sacks. The young kid out of Utah State, Kyle Fackrell, contributed with 10.5 sacks on the season. And then the secondary, they have a lot of young playmakers back here. Jair Alexander was one of the best young corners in the game last season. Tremont Williams, oh, Brown, he's still back there trying to get it done. Tremont Williams still has a job, Rudy? Tremont Williams? That's crazy, man. He's still playing. And then Josh Jackson actually led the team with 10 pass deflections. And Josh Jones was actually solid at the safety position, but he wanted to be traded this offseason. Young kid, just relax, man. You got a job.
All right, so, Nick, we're going to talk about what the Packers did in this offseason. We know they're coming off that 6-9-1, had a tie last year against the Vikings, last team we're going to talk about today. But in the first round of the NFL draft, they got a player that I think fits what they're trying to do perfectly. Gary, I think he's a guy that, like, he could have he's got a high ceiling, and he's got, like, a floor that's really low. Because I think there are signs that he disappeared at Michigan. So we're going to see if he's going to be a boom or bust type of player. But I'm hoping that he, you know, has a good NFL career and, you know, just balls out. You know, he's a 12th overall pick for the Packers in the first round. We'll see what he does. Darnell Savage was a safety at Maryland, University of Maryland. And he was the 21st overall draft pick in this year's NFL draft. You know, look for him to, again, have a great chance to start for the Packers this year. And Jay Sternberger, that was a guy that the Packers did draft in the third round of the NFL draft. So I think that, you know, he'll contribute. So, you know, look for him to, again, contribute to the offense. And also Dexter Williams was a guy who got drafted actually by Notre Dame in the sixth round that I think for the Packers actually might can contribute and really carve his niche because, like you said, Nick, the Packers haven't been known for having a good running game in the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years at least. When free agency, we're talking about the Packers getting safety Adrian Amos, probably be the other starting safety when it's all said and done. But linebacker Preston Smith was acquisition as well as linebacker Za'Darius Smith. Then also the big, you know, loss for the Packers in free agency was not Nick Perry and linebacker for the Packers. And so, you know, that will hurt them. But, you know, let's go ahead and move on to the last team in the division, which is the Vikings.
Hey, did you touch on Clay Matthews gone as well? Yeah, Clay Matthews, I forgot about him as well. All right, Minnesota Vikings. I'm going to just put it like this, man. I just want to give an announcement to all 53 players on this team. I don't want you guys pointing fingers at each other, but you guys know you had a disappointing season. The city of Minnesota did not deserve this. Mike Zimmer, the head coach, was one of the best coaches in the game, did not deserve this season that you guys put forth last year. We know what happened the year before, my boy Stephon Diggs in the divisional playoff game. Come on, Minnesota, man. Come on, Viking players. This season, I need you guys to bounce back, step it up, because you guys are too damn talented to have another subpar season, not go to the playoffs. Seriously. Offense side of the ball.
Kirk Cousins.
Offense side of ball, Kirk Cousins,
Kirk Cousins.
Almost 4,300 passing yards. Actually had a solid season, 30 touchdowns, 10 picks, running back position, Dalvin Cook. Only 615 rush yards. As we know, they split time. He split time with Latavius Murray. Wide receiver position, two of the best, 1-2 tandem in the league. Thielen, 113 catches. My boy Stephon Diggs, 102 catches. Treadwell, he steps it up a little bit.
Production.
Yeah, but this year's Treadwell, you need to get him to about 50-60 catch
or
radius, man, to keep improving.
Or else what? He might be what?
Oh, man, he's
what?
He might get dropped off. He's an overrated.
Yeah, because he's a little too overrated.
And then Kyle Rudolph, solid, 64 catches, tight end position. We know the offensive line was the weak link last year. Kirk Cousins couldn't keep him upright. Rudy's going to touch on the offensive line, what they upgraded in the free agency, also in the draft. Defensive line, I'm just put like this. This front seven is some of the best in the game. Danielle Hunter, one of the most slept-on talents coming out of LSU, got drafted late in the draft, threw some character issues with him. The kid just balls out every year, 14.5 sacks. Everson Griffin, he missed a few games, took a few stepped away from the game for a little bit, had some personal issues, still contributed 5.5 sacks. Linville Joseph, one of the best run stuff and defensive tackles in the game. Linebacker position, we already know about Kendricks, balled out, 108 tackles on the year. Anthony Barr actually kind of had a subpar year. And then who else? They had Eric Wilson at the linebacker position. But the secondary, it's all about Xavier Rhodes, and it's all about Harrison Smith, one of the best safeties in the game, one of the best corners in the game. So there is a lot of talent on this defense. I know Mike Hughes, their first-round pick last year out of Central Florida. He actually only played in a couple games. I think he tore his ACL or whatever right out the gate. But like I said, this team, Vikings, should step it up, have a good 2019 season.
I don't know, man, with the Vikings. I mean, you convinced me when you said that, you know, the quarterback Cousins had 30 and 10. That actually sounds pretty damn good. I'll take that, you know, pretty much like 6 days out the week. Talk about the Minnesota Vikings and what they did in the draft and free agency. I mean, it seems like it was clear that their emphasis was this is a team that wants to continue to build, not necessarily rebuild, but continue to fortify our front. You know, again, same type of thing. It's that Midwest mentality. It's the NFC North. You got to be ready to play inside the trenches, and you got to be ready to, you know, get after the other team's quarterback and protect your own quarterback. It's like we're talking about Aaron Rodgers a lot in the show. You know, Aaron Rodgers the last couple of years has been kind of injury prone. It's because these other teams in this division, like Minnesota, you know, they'll get after your quarterback, like Chicago. So Garrett Bradbury was the 18th overall pick by the Vikings in this year's NFL draft. He's a center that should help them try to fortify their line and protect Kirk Cousins. Then I love the second round draft pick, Irv Smith Jr. out of Alabama. Go to the Vikings, you know, tight ends kind of like a quarterback's best friend type of thing, to where, you know, he'll have an outlet to get it to help him out. Another guy to go along, Kyle Rudolph. Kyle Rudolph can show him the ropes. I think that's why they were very, you know, eager to get a deal done with him and bring him back, because they ended up doing at the end of the day. You know, you'll look for guys to come to Minnesota this year, like a guy like Amir Abdullah, who is running back for the Lions, who the Vikings did acquire in free agency. Also, safety Darren Smith. That was a big acquisition by the Vikings because, I mean, the back of that secondary is something you have to make sure you solidify. That's your last line of defense.
Now, I got to take the mic away from you, man. I know we just got 90 seconds left. Root, I know you did not just say Amir Abdul was a big acquisition. He ain't do doo-doo in Detroit. He ain't going to do doo-doo in Minnesota. Deron Smith, I love this kid. I love Deron Smith coming out of Fresno State. Didn't do too much in Cincinnati.
Kind of
didn't get enough chance. He's more of a free safety. But where's he going to get playing time at, man? With Anthony Harrison, Harrison Smith. I mean, we'll see, man.
I mean, we will see. So, you know, that's players that they acquired. Nick, we're wrapping up on time, but I think one of the biggest things that the Vikings did was acquire their own talent. Kyle Rudolph will be playing for the Vikings next year, so will Anthony Barr, and they got an extension done for Adam Thielen. So that was, you know, kind of what the Vikings focused on, kind of like that Bengals mentality in free agency.
All right. And on that note, fans, we hope you enjoyed the show. Next week, we'll be touching on the NFC South, talking about them Dirty Birds and them Saints.
South.
And them Panthers and the Bucks.
Go to your mouth.
Nah, man, come on, man. But anyway, fans, we hope you enjoyed the show. If you missed the show live, always go to iTunes, look for the Neek and Root
show.
And fans, we will see you guys next week. Stay cool, stay out the heat. All right, see you next week.